There are a lot of famous people who practice Buddhism. Orlando Bloom, Drew Carey, J-Lo, Brad Pitt, Tiger Woods, Mark Zuckerberg. What happens when you mix rap music and Buddhism? I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today, I'm joined by rapper Elijah Phoenix, who considers himself a Buddhist.
Hi, my name is Elijah Phoenix. I'm like to consider myself a Buddhist rapper.
A Buddhist rapper.
Rapper, yes.
Okay, let's talk about Buddhism first. What exactly is Buddhism?
Okay, so that's a little bit of a loaded question because there's a lot of different schools of Buddhism.
Okay. You know?
The one specifically I'm subscribed to is Zen Buddhism.
Okay.
And that one is mainly taught by Thich Nhat Hanh, rest in peace. He focuses more on, you know, meditation Buddhism, you know, mindfulness, getting in touch with yourself. So for stuff like reincarnation and stuff like that, those are different schools of Buddhism.
So Buddhism is considered a religion. However, like most other religions, there's not like a god that you worship. However, some people do kind of worship Buddha, who's not really considered a god.
Yeah. Some Buddhists, so that's actually the funny thing about Buddhism, because Buddha himself has stated that I am not your savior. I am at most your spiritual guide. If you choose to have a savior, if you choose to have a god of some sort, that is fine. That is your decision, but I am not he.
You could be another religion and be a Buddhist at the same time.
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. It's more of a lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then when did you grow up as a Buddhist, or is this something that you found yourself as an adult or a child or something?
So the funny thing is I discovered Buddhism when I was like 16 or 17, and I did grow up LDS.
Oh.
So obviously my parents were like, no, you're not doing any of that. But ever since I've been living on my own and I haven't been practicing my LDS faith at all, I decided, well, because there was actually a time where I was atheist,
but then
I found out at that time I'm very much a spiritual person. I'm like, but I still want some form of spirituality in my life. And that's when I remembered, I'm like, well, in 16, I was studying Buddhism. So why don't I go back to that? And then, you know, call it destiny. I like to, it fell back into my lap, and that's when I started practicing it again.
And now you have, had you mixed Buddhism into your music that you make?
In some ways, yes. I think a good example of this would be my second song, Samurai. You do not equip, y'all are looking at me. On the rack to the reach, them gate at the reach, I pay, I don't hesitate. It's not a race, only I had to take for the side of my bank, cause I'm always first up in second place. This is forever, the one or whatever, and ever for better. Professor and budget, the dick and I budget till I'm a race. I'm a samurai, slicing up competition, so you suckers better listen, I'm high. Because the samurais were Buddhist in their time, like, I follow heavily on this one samurai called Miyamoto Musashi, who's considered one of the greatest samurais in Japanese history.
Okay.
And as I'm researching more and more of his work, I've discovered that he takes a lot of principles of fighting from Buddhism. And funny enough, I do it for both my music and my boxing, where it's all about, it's time to stay relaxed. It's time to, like, it's not about, like, because even though I can be angry at my music, that's not the main point. It's like, let me flow with the music type of deal.
And you're a boxer also?
Very amateurish, like, okay, not okay. Yeah.
Well, and it, you know, boxing is obviously kind of violent. However, I've done it before, and I know it's not necessarily just violent. It's a sport, and it's very calculated. And
yep.
Your rapping does sound aggressive, which is interesting because it seems like Buddhism is more about
being centered.
There you go. It seems more like that. It seems almost like the opposite of Buddhism.
Yeah. So, and I can definitely understand that from people, like, how are you a Buddhist, but also how do you do something like hip hop or rap?
Yeah.
What most people don't know about hip hop is that there's so many different schools of hip hop. The most popular is obviously the more, you know, gangster violence and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I still have a little bit of that anger in some of my music too. But at the end of the day, hip hop is so varied. You can have any form of hip hop inside of it, because at the end of the day, it's self-expression. It's whoever you are. And
okay.
that's why you come forward. It's not about, at least how I like to see it, it's not about the money. It's not about just you trying to get rich. It's none of that. It's very much self-express yourself for who you are, how you like to present yourself. And that's what hip hop will resonate with. I remember I tried, so my third song, you know, cause my style of rap is weird, right? Like putting it up forward. When I came out with Samurai, it was such a different style of hip hop, but people liked it because, like, oh, it's so unique. It's so different. It's not what you normally hear. When I tried doing the usual route with On My Own, this is like a third song, it's like a trap song. I was up in my head on my deathbed, broken nose, serving my time, writing out rhyme. I woke, counting my sets, putting in sweat. You should know I've been on crime, facing mankind on my own. I'm a soldier carrying the world on my shoulders. I get colder, moving on, don't need closure. Oh Jehovah, my soul's fighting till it's over. I'm a loner, slowly losing my composure. I remember I was playing that song in a few different states and a few different shows. And even though I thought it's popular right now in hip hop, nobody was resonating with it. Everyone was like, okay, this is kind of boring type of thing. When I came out with songs like Samurai, that it's like, okay, this is weird, this is different, but we like to vibe with it type of thing.
How has practicing Buddhism helped you personally in your life and with your music?
A ton.
Yeah.
A ton. Like, so I don't mind sharing this, right? Like I remember the first time I walked into a Buddhist practice, you know, it was the first time they were just doing something called walking meditation.
Okay.
You know, which is that where it's very much like there's no purpose. Well, the purpose of meditation is just to walk. It's just to feel everything, you know? And I remember when I was doing that the first time, I was just filled with rage. I was just filled with anger. Like it just swooped all over me, you know, and I genuinely felt like I was going to break something there, but I'm like, no, you're in public. Don't do that. So I started walking around, and that's when I realized that I had to self-reflect. There's a lot of things in my life that I had to take care of, you know, and that was the first step. That was my third or fourth session there, give or take, where I was doing walking meditation and I was just flooded with anger. And then I'm just like, okay, this is actually a deeper problem I didn't know I have.
Wow.
You know, I wanted to ask you, I don't know how familiar you are with, Carl Jung's shadow concept. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I do not know. Tell me about it.
So to briefly explain it, what Carl Jung talked about is all of us have an ego. All of us have a negative aspect in ourselves. And what he talked about is it's not about suppressing it, because if you suppress it, you only make it worse. You know, it's how do you use that ego, or how do you use that negative aspect of yourself for good, for something positive in your life. And so like with Buddhism, that's what I've realized. It never once states like to suppress the negative in you. It's like whatever you're feeling, it's like, well, how do you use that for good?
Okay.
How do you use that? So you could say the same about anger. It's like, okay, how do I use my anger for good? For me, it's like, oh, for music. Like I make some certain songs, I just get it out there.
So it's almost like it all came together for you with the music and the Buddhism. That's really nice. Now, you didn't grow up in the United States. You're from Venezuela?
I lived in Venezuela when I was from 16 to 18.
Okay, you know? As a teenager.
And I was a teenager in Venezuela, and... yeah, that was definitely an interesting experience.
So your family's not from Venezuela? Are you of Venezuelan descent?
So both my parents are from Venezuela. So
okay.
My dad's from the capital, Caracas.
Okay.
And my mom is from a city 8 hours away from Caracas. We just went back there because my dad couldn't find a job in the U.S.
Okay, gotcha.
And it was definite, if anything, it made I'm thinking about it now, it planted a lot of seeds, because that's where I took rapping more seriously.
Okay.
Because I was in school, I absolutely hated it, you know?
Yeah.
I just hated it. Like, this is not for me. I'm not made for academics, stuff like that. But that's where I first discovered Buddhism, where I'm just like, okay, what's the story of Buddha? And I started learning about it. And then that's when I got really deeper into hip hop, where before, you know, I was 14 and 15, Because you're 14 and 15, you're dumb. You see what you see on TV. And that is, at the time, I was like, oh, I'm just doing this for the money and everything. And then something just changed where it's a whole culture where it's like, oh, no, this is something way bigger. And I love this a lot more.
So how old were you when you first started rapping or at least writing music?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I was 14 when I first started making music. It's 14.
How old are you now? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm 27 now.
Okay, so it's been a long time though. You started doing this a long time ago.
Yep.
And then I saw that you recently had a rap battle. Was it last weekend? This past weekend?
Yes.
Was it your first rap battle or have you done this a bunch?
Second rap battle.
Second rap battle. Okay. And I've got a bunch of questions about rap battling.
That's fine. Go ahead.
It seems like nerve wracking, like you're putting your heart and soul out there in front of everybody, just live on the spot. Do you know who you're going to be battling ahead of time? Like, can you Google that person? I saw the video. I saw you were battling a guy named Q. And did you know who he was ahead of time? Could you like come up with stuff ahead of time?
Oh yeah. So a lot of time for rap battles, they let you know who your opponent is at least give or take a month before time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you got a lot of time then.
So yeah. So it's a month. And the funny thing is too, so a lot of times in a rap battle, you know, it's very much like a boxing match. It's a verbal.
Yes.
Boxing match. It's very much like, okay, what is he going to come up with? What am I going to come up with? Like in rap battle, there's a thing called a scheme. When okay. A scheme is, it's like, it basically means what's my topic against him type of deal. And it's funny you mentioned that because when I was battling Q, the first thing, like I said in my battle, it was, they got me facing the guy who calls himself Q. When Mike Masters told me, my first thought was who? So it's very much with that, you just go off of it. Like you find something to come off, like nobody knew who Q was. So I'm like, I'm using that to my advantage.
Right, you know? Right.
And
how much of it is like pre-written and how much of it are you doing off the top of your head? Like, do you go out there and do a round and then he said something and then right there off the top of your head, you respond to the thing that specifically he said?
So for me, it depends on the battler. It very much depends on the battler.
Okay.
I learned that I definitely need to improve my freestyle battles. You know, that's definitely on me. I'm very much written. If I have everything written down, rehearsed, boom, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I was actually, most people don't know this. I don't mind sharing, but you'll notice it sounded like a rebuttal because Q forgot his lines.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, he forgot his lines. And so one of my lines is, again, it's thinking he's a premier star with a hint of guru. Give this rapper a chance and he'll sabotage his debut. I had that written down like 2 weeks ago. It just happened to fit into the situation.
Nice, nice. Okay. I'm finding out the secrets.
Exactly.
The whole premise of a rap battle is to dog on the other guy, right? Or is it, can you rap about anything during a rap battle? Or is it specifically going after that guy?
I would definitely say specifically going after the other guy. It's very much like you're trying to prove why he sucks and you're better.
Okay. You know?
That's the whole purpose of the rap battle, you know, and I get it. It's not for everybody. I grew up on that back in Venezuela when I was watching it online. And I'm just like, yo, this is the greatest thing ever. People have watched 8 Mile and they're like, yo, this is really cool and stuff like that. What no one wants to talk about. This is my perspective, but no one wants to talk about in the rap battle community. They don't want to give pay dues to Eminem. It's like, it's thanks to him. He came out with the movie 8 Mile that more people discovered what rap battling is.
Right.
You know? And so with that, like there's a bunch of leagues. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So
there's rap battling leagues.
Yes, yes, yes.
I had no idea. Are they located in Utah? Are they all over the country? Or are they
all over the country? All over the country. So you want to talk about the two biggest leagues of rap battling, like meaning you are not a seasoned rap battler or a dope rap battler unless you've rapped in these two leagues.
Okay.
It's called the URL, the Ultimate Rap League, and King of the Dots, which that one's located up in Canada.
Okay.
Those two are the biggest platform for rap battlers that even some rappers, you know, traditional music have rap battled in King of the Dots. And so
I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today, I'm talking to Buddhist rapper Elijah Phoenix.
Okay, interesting. That I did not know that at all. Is that your goal? Would you like to rap battle with one of those leagues? In one of those
I'm very much go with the flow. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's okay. I found out the hard way too, that making music and being a rap battler, it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of things on your plate.
Yeah.
You know, there's this one guy. Shout out to the homie Seizure. That's his name. That's the battler's name.
Okay.
He's mainly a battle rapper. Like, he just loves to battle. But when it comes to, like, making music, I think he only has, like, one song on his YouTube channel. And he was upfront about it. It's, like, it's hard to do both. Some people can do it, but it's hard to do both. So
okay, gotcha.
I'm very much just figuring that out as well.
Okay. And then you mentioned it's kind of like a boxing match, which was the first thing that I noticed was, like, this is in rounds. So you did, like, 3 rounds. And when you go back and forth, is it always like that? Does it happen in rounds with the same 2 people over and over again? Or do most of the rap battles just let you go at it one time?
It depends. So like the main, one is 3 rounds, 60 seconds. Sometimes, because in my last battle, where I don't mind saying this, that I lost in, was that one was 3 rounds and 2 minutes.
Okay.
And sometimes when you have last minute rap battles, because unfortunately it is so common a rap battle where the battler doesn't show up for whatever reason. He doesn't tell the organization. At that time, when it's like a last minute replacement, like we need a last minute replacement, they'll just do a 60 second freestyle round where all of it is just off the top, where they're just trying to do that against the guy.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of. That's very cool. And then I noticed leading up to your rap battle, you did like a WWE style video calling out the other rapper. Is that the usual? Do people usually do that? Or was that just something fun that you did?
So the organization, Mike Masters, you know, shout out to them, because I'm so happy that they gave me those opportunities. They said you have to promote your battle. You know, I grew up on WWE. So when I hear promo, you know, my brain understood something else. I'm like, okay, I'm doing promo then. And so immediately I decided, because I was filming a music video in the Salt Flats. So I'm like, this is the perfect opportunity to shoot a promo here.
Yeah.
So I decided at that moment with my director, like, I got ideas, and very similar to WWE, because I'm somewhat well-versed in pro wrestling as well.
Okay.
Where it's like, you have your ideas, everything else, you just gotta improvise, you know? And that's exactly what I did at that moment when he drove up. All that was purely improvised. It was just me.
Well, it was really fun. Did he respond to you?
He responded in a private chat, but never publicly.
Oh, that's too funny. Okay. Yeah. And then, you won. You won that rap battle.
I did.
Congratulations. How did it feel winning?
Oh, my goodness. It made me think, okay, so me spending all my life rapping wasn't a waste. So that's where I got very excited. That's where I got very happy. I was like, I can do this. You know, I don't know if you saw in the video. Shout out to this guy too, Steez Rogers. I actually have him featured on my upcoming show this Friday, you know.
Yes.
With him, because I never rapped battle before. I mainly just wrote songs. And as they say in rap, punchlines. I threw punchlines in there.
Yeah.
He taught me how to battle rap. He showed me some videos. Shout outs to him. And in my opinion, because the organization might get mad at me at this, but in my opinion, the best battle rapper in Utah is a guy named Atheist.
Okay.
You know, he's got his big afro and everything. He also helped me too. He sent me messages. He was telling me stuff like, okay, this is what you got to do. This is the purpose of battle rap. It's thanks to those two in particular that I was able to succeed in my first battle rap. So honestly, shout out to those two.
Well, you did a great job. You definitely, I thought before they even named you the winner, I was like, well, he's definitely going to win this one. He was way better than the other guy. No offense to Q. I'm sure he's great when he's not, when he's on the game. But afterwards, you guys shook hands and did a good game like an athlete would. Did you get along afterwards after saying terrible stuff out about each other? I mean, is it friendly afterwards?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I can't speak for every battler, at least for me with Q. Like, after that, I was cool with the guy. Like, I decided, you know, because, like, because for me researching his music, you know, because he mostly focuses on like trap rap, right? And that is totally fine. That's just very different from my style. And I've done trap rap before. It doesn't fit me. But out of respect with the guy, I was like, okay, I got a homie who does trap music. I think you two should link up.
Okay, so you ended up actually helping each other out with stuff. That's nice. That
exactly. No, exactly.
Like cool afterwards.
exactly. Like it's all sport. It's because people don't realize that rap battling is a sport. It's just a different kind of sport. It's like a mental sport, like chess.
Right.
You know, because chess is that where you're trying to take down your opponent. It's the same with battle rap. You're trying to take down your opponent just verbally doing it. So.
Now, what does your family think about your rap career? Are they supportive of you? Do they come see you?
If anything, they generally try. It's just, they don't, my parents especially aren't the biggest fans of rap.
Okay.
It's just not for them. They're just definitely not like, we don't like this, stuff like that. And I'm involved in it. But you know what I tell them? This is just who I am. This is what I love to do.
Right, right. So how often would you say you're working on your rap career? You've got like a day job too that's separate from music?
I do. I use that to just, everything I do is strictly for the music. I try to supply it. That's exactly what I try to do. And like you were mentioning earlier, because it gets so stressful at some point, that's why I try to make it, a priority,
right,
to go to my practices on Sundays, to meditate. And actually, I even just try to meditate daily.
Yeah.
You know, because of how stressful everything can get.
So what is your day job? What do you do during the day? What do you do for money?
So,
it seems like you got a real job.
So I worked in a treatment center.
Okay.
It's called Daniel's Academy. And there I work with kids on the spectrum from ages 13 to 18. I don't mind even saying this, fun little story. That's what I did for a while. And something I even did on my free time, just because one of the reasons I love that job so much is because it teaches you the value of helping other people, of supporting other people. One of the kids there, it just comes aside and he pulls me. He asked me, you know, Brigham, can you teach me how to battle rap? And I taught him, like, there are definitely certain rules. Like, he can't say slurs, like, stuff like that. I did tell him, you know, I pulled him aside and I told him, like, I'll teach you, but don't be using this against anybody. Don't be doing this. But if we're here in the battle, you can call me whatever you want, but do not call anything else. Like, I had to make it strict on him. And he loved it. Because with autism, you know, his speech was at like a 130, 140.
Okay.
So like his speech was at a genius level. His memorization was at like 100, where he struggled memorizing things. So that was his struggle. And that's what I was trying to teach him, like write down everything and just practice, rehearse, practice.
Wow.
If anything, I was happy about that because ever since he did rapping, he got better in the program.
That's awesome. You're changing lives with rap.
Yeah. It's exactly like that.
Ultimately, would you like to quit your day job and just do rapping?
That is the number one goal.
That's the goal?
That is the number one goal, is to quit my job and just be a hip-hop artist full-time, because I do not do this for the money. I don't. This is strictly, I love this with a full passion. You know, it's a lot of hard work. Everybody, I will say this right now, it's because everybody thinks like, oh, eventually get signed to a label, I get all the money. It's like, those are the rappers that don't last long in the game. So the ones that last longest in the game is the ones putting in the work, are smart, know how to market their brand, market themselves. I never think to myself, oh, is this song too weird? I never think to myself, you know, it's like, can this be marketable? I always ask myself, how can this be marketable? You know, it's always that phrasing, like, how do you present yourself? How is this going to go? You always ask yourself that, you know.
Well, and you present yourself with a face mask and you have a Japanese samurai hat. Yeah. What's the deal with those two things?
So as far back as I remember, I think I was like 6 or 7. I was always into Japanese culture. I was always into like the samurai culture.
Okay.
You know, as I got older, you know, instead of just like the samurai being so cool, it's like, okay, the samurai have a Bushido code. The samurais knew how to fight. Like, okay, Scott, this is a lot I could say about this. Like, off my free time, I've studied like the samurai cultures, the dynasties, anything about that. I love. It's, if I were to say the best book on that, I've mentioned them earlier, was Miyamoto Musashi's The Book of Five Rings, where it's thanks to that book that really exploded and I just started becoming obsessed with that. So, sorry, to answer your question. Specifically when I battle rap, that's how I think it's, because it's a battle rap, you know?
Okay.
So like I'm a, and it's like kind of ties into my second song, I'm a samurai. You know, it's like, I'm a samurai, it's slicing up competition, so you suckers better listen. Like stuff like that, where it's like, when I go into this, I'm ready for war.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like I always tap into that, like that persona of like, I'm a samurai, I'm ready to like, because I like to think to myself, I'm a very kind person or a very introverted person.
Yeah.
So you would think, okay, how do I at least bring out something else in a battle rap? I'm like, oh, I embrace like a samurai lifestyle. And that's how I sort of explore it.
And it seems like you might be a fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had to look it up and I was like, oh, he is referencing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles here.
Yeah. I hope Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman aren't mad at me, because I just thought about that. Because when I read the story of The Last Ronin, I'm like, this is like the most badass story I have ever read. And so I take that concept, The Last Ronin, I'm like, yo, I love that. I'm going to take that and I'm going to implement that into my battle rap. Like, I am the last one. Thank you.
Now you've got a show this Friday in Orem, Utah. Where is that going to be?
That's going to be at the Boardwalk in Orem. That's going to be from 6:30 to 10. I am super excited about that. That is the first show I get to headline. Not only do I get to headline, all the rappers on there and all the artists there were people I've met and I've got along with. Shout out to every single one of them. Mr. Lyrical, let's start with him. Mr. Lyrical, I met him in a Salt Lake City hip hop showcase. We just connected and I just told him, I'm looking for one more rapper on the show. Do you want to come on? He said, yeah. Shout outs to Steez Rogers. I met him at another Salt Lake showcase and I went to attend his battle rap, who again, he taught me how to battle rap properly. That homie, shout out to Steez Rogers. Okay. Great artist, him. Saint Obi, fun little story about Saint Obi. I hope I don't expose him a little bit. His name is Chris. We've known each other since we were like 7 or 8, you know? And about 4 or 5 months ago, we linked up again because I had no idea he did music, right? I had absolutely no idea he did rap music. So I started listening to his raps and I'm like, oh my God, this kid genuinely has talent. And I'm like, why don't you just release this? And you know, as artists, we're like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, like I'm still nervous. I don't know if I can and stuff like that. And I'm trying to push him, you know. I guess subconsciously, I took him under my wing. And okay. I'm trying to teach it because I don't know anything. I'm going to be upfront about it. I don't know anything. And he's trusting me, like, you know, I'll show him what I know about rap. Eventually, I want him to be independent. I want him to do his own stuff. But anyways, he's a debuting rapper. Like, he's coming back to the rap scene as well. And there's one, funny enough, that's not a rapper. He's a pop singer. His name is Jay Bledz. He's on the card.
Okay.
He's on there because I thank him. Shout out to Jay Bledz as well, because he discovered me, because I stopped doing rap when I was like 21, 22, and I would just occasionally freestyle.
Yeah.
One of his friends was hearing me. He was like, hey, I know this producer. If you want to link up with him, he could help you how to rap better. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I rapped in front of him. He helped me. He brought me back into music, basically.
Okay, nice. So this will be a fun show. And then is this actually also a release party for music? Are you releasing music?
Yeah, so I'm doing this thing called the Joji EP, where it's basically me rapping and singing over Joji instrumentals.
Okay.
I'm excited about that. It ties into another project I have. I'm keeping that one under wraps. So it ties into that later on, but I'm excited for that, to preparing more new music for people.
Well, how can someone get a hold of your music? Can they purchase it? Can they follow you on any of the music platforms?
Yeah, I'm on all the platforms. I'm on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. The best way to support me is just to, listen to that. I would definitely say my number one thing that I focus on is following my Instagram. It's at ElijahPhoenix42, all lowercase. That is the best. That's where I have all my updates. I'm on everything else. I'm on TikTok. I deleted my TikTok. I'm going to rebrand it here in a bit. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube as well, at ElijahPhoenix42. All of it, the same handle on all my platforms.
I'm going to put links to all of this stuff so people can follow you and support you and go to your show on Friday. And thank you so much for talking to me today. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for this opportunity, Lexi. I very much appreciate you on your podcast. I very much do.
I learned a lot about Buddhism and rap battling today. Two great tastes that taste great together. I also never thought I'd be talking about them together. To check out Elijah, check out the links posted with this podcast. Coming up next week, I talk to a former escort turned author with a solo play coming out. If you or someone you know lives life differently, email me, lexiontheradio@gmail.com. That's lexiontheradio@gmail.com, or go to delightfullydifferentpodcast.com and have a delightful week.